my envy, rather, who know exactly what they want to do when they are at university or about to leave university. On the contrary, I had taken a degree in Russian, and it was not altogether clear to me at that time, it was a long time ago, what one could use a degree in Russian for. And then I discovered, when I came back after the end of World War II, when I was in the army, to the university to cast about for either graduate work or a job, I discovered that the Polar Research Institute at Cambridge University was in fact looking for someone with a Russian background. So that got me into polar studies, as it were, by the back door, and having started in that way, I found that the appetite came in eating, and have certainly never regretted the choice.
That was Dr. Terence Armstrong, the British scholar from Cambridge, who is the University of Alaska Fairbanks commencement speaker this year and the recipient of an honorary Doctor of Science degree. And I'm Karen Sedgell, Director of Public Affairs, with this week's edition of University Focus. Dr. Armstrong has been with the Scott Polar Research Institute at Cambridge since 1947 and is now the Assistant Director of Polar Research there. He's widely recognized as one of the outstanding scholars on development of northern lands, especially the Soviet North. The Institute offers a diploma in polar studies, for which Armstrong is responsible.
We have this one-year postgraduate course, which has been running for 5 years, called the Diploma in Polar Studies. In fact, from this year, it's going to be called Master of Philosophy in Polar Studies. It concerns both polar regions, and it offers, first of all, a very broad background of study. The students will be concerned with the environment, with the people, the history, the economics, the science that goes on there, the administration, the whole thing, whatever happens in these two polar regions. We've had at least three Alaskans doing this course. One of them, Roger McPherson, from Fairbanks itself. Another, Eric Van Beenen, from, one time from Fairbanks, but now upcountry, I believe. A third from Anchorage. We very much welcome having such people as this, because they have the North in their background and have a great deal that they can pass on to the other students. Equally, of course, the other students who may, for instance, be Australians who spent 3 or 4 years in the Antarctic will have a good deal to pass on to them.
Such a program, according to Armstrong, would be a natural for UAS.
You have a magnificent library, the Elmer Rasmussen Library, with its Skinner collection of Arctic books, very strong indeed. You have a number of interested and very skilled faculty members who know a great deal about the particularly North Polar region. Of course, there are also Antarctic people here, but not so many. So that I would say that this is one of the three or four best placed centres in the world to carry out polar studies.
Despite strained relations between Russia and the West at the moment, Dr. Armstrong continues to contact his counterparts in the Soviet Union.
It's always difficult to tell, because one is trying always to get literature, to get contacts, to get exchanges going, and these things do go on all the time. One doesn't always know if a particular contact has gone cold on one until maybe 2 years later, when one suddenly wakes up to the fact that one hasn't heard from Mr. Ivanov for a long time, and one wonders why. So that it could be that we're being adversely affected now. But on the other hand, I haven't got any direct evidence of this. Indeed, in the last month or so, I've had a couple of very friendly letters from opposite numbers of mine in the Soviet Union, who have written in a perfectly normal way, with the usual sorts of questions that they're always asking me, and I've written back with the usual sorts of answers.
The future of the northern land, said Armstrong, provides a great opportunity to exercise wise management of needed resources.
It will provide the raw materials that are getting scarce in the rest of the world. It will tend to get more densely populated as the population of the world grows, but that is one stage or even two stages behind the raw materials aspect. And everything depends, of course, on the care and skill and consideration with which this exploitation takes place. I'm sure it will take place, but what we have to do is to ensure that it takes place in a satisfactory way.
This is not the first time Armstrong has visited Alaska, and he's amazed at the number of changes that have occurred in the past few years.
I think one can notice noticeable changes in the first 10 minutes of arrival in Alaska. That's my usual experience, that sometimes it's even quite difficult to recognize places that one has visited only a year or two before. Now, clearly things are changing and developing very fast here, and I should be extremely interested during this last short visit to check on the last installment of these changes.
Commencement is Sunday, May 11th at 2 p.m., but a host of activities are planned for the weekend. Today at 4, the new museum building will be dedicated. Everyone is invited to attend, and a reception to the community is set for Saturday from 1 to 5. Library Archives is holding an open house Saturday from 2:30 to 4:30 p.m. The recently completed rare books and collections area is an impressive addition to the library, and the community is invited to stop and visit. And of course, everyone is welcome to watch the nearly 350 graduates receive their diplomas on Sundays. I'm Karen Sedgell, and this has been University Focus from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, where education and research face tomorrow today.
University Focus is produced by the UAF Public Affairs Office at KUAC-FM.